I was sitting in the, oh, we stayed up all night talking.
And we had breakfast. And I could tell those men did not want me in that meeting.
And I was perfectly willing not to go to that meeting. I had nothing there. They didn't owe me anything, and I didn't owe them anything. And one of them very foolishly said, "Gene, why don't you go to the meeting?" John Braun drooped. All the others drooped. And I said, "No, I think not. I appreciate it, brothers, but I think I better go on. I'm not sure that I belong here." And boy, you know, they all perked up. And Gene Berry was frustrated. Oh, well.
So I was going to get this at the meeting of the honchos that had left Campus Crusade, who were leading God's people back to something called body life because they'd read a book about it.
So I was sitting there. And if you want to talk about changing the course of history, it was the course of history for all of us. I was sitting next to Ray Minnery. And I don't know who was supposed to speak. But they had made the mistake of turning the program over to some college student. And this guy's name was Clayton. I guess. So this young man comes out and he said, well, this morning we've had so-and-so speaker and this afternoon we're going to have so-and-so speaker. I remember that
this young man was telling me about a book he had just written. He wasn't real sure of the title, but he thought he was going to name it The Late Night Pundit Hurt. And he spoke that afternoon, I remember, and then Walker, whose name I've forgotten, spoke that afternoon too. But anyway, I'm sitting there just cool as a cucumber, and
Clyde Kildore said, "And now Gene Ebers is going to speak." I didn't even like God knew my name. So I turned to Ray and I said, "Ray, I can't do this." And he said, "Gene, go do it." I looked at him again and I stood out in the hall, out in the aisle, and I had three thoughts that came to me. And I said to myself, "There's no way in this world I can put all those three thoughts together and make one message out of it. It can't be done." And I don't remember anything that happened after that. I really don't. I remember bringing a message. And I will tell you what happened when I got through. And neither you nor I nor anybody else in this world has ever seen that. When I finished, the entire audience got up with about the exception of about three people. Guess which ones? And the entire audience moved over. I came off the platform and downstairs that way. And when I got to the bottom of that staircase, every person in that room was at that staircase. And they were just reaching out, touching me like that. It was crazy. It was awful. Let me use that word again. It was all filled. It was a stunner beyond stunners. And I could see Ray Nethery pushing his way through that crowd of kids because that was their kids. And those young college students trying to get through, and he finally got a hold of my arm and he just started pulling me, get me out of there. And I went home, forgot all about it. But y'all didn't.
And it became, I suppose, the most listened Christian tape of the last 10, over the next 10 years. It got duplicated all over the world. And one brother, whose name I'm on the edge of the tongue of my tongue, he's still single. He's over 60 years old. He's tall and he's redheaded. He memorized the entire message.
Who?
Joel. Good.
He said to give you his greeting.
You what?
I talked to him.
He did. Give you
And I understand he did better than I did. He'd go around and preach that.
Word for word.
Wow.
That he did. That would be good. He's sitting around there.
And the story goes that Bob Emery and Matt Stollander were on the verge of shutting the place down. And they were somewhere, I believe, in San Diego. And we said to Ray Nethery, "We're tired of listening to you guys, and we don't know what to do." And Ray Nethery said, "Well, why don't you try Gene?"
And you know how I feel about that? That's exactly how I feel about it. When God couldn't find anybody else on this earth, he went through his index, and there were no names left. There was a little note on the back of the box that said, if all else failed, try G.
And so I got a letter from her. I don't know how old I was. I think I was 36 then, 35 or 36. And I got that letter. And when Petrie called me, I hung up that phone. No, I turned around and sat down and I said to my wife, "Sweetheart, it started and nothing's going to stop her."
And it didn't have anything to do with Petrie or go with men. It just had to do with, we were in the 60s now, and everything was ripping and tearing apart. I picked up the phone and called Witness Lee.
I said, "Brother Lee, I've been invited to Goleta, California to speak to a group of college students. Would it be all right with you if I go?"
Is that pretty close? Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
And I said, "Brother Lean, I ask you to go with me." Remember, I see not. You have no idea what I had passed through and what had happened to me, but I still understood authority, even if it's Saul's.
Amen.
Please listen to me, all of you, and anyone who will ever hear this again, as long as you live. And please keep in mind that I am the person who called this conference and asked you to make a decision for the rest of your life. And I've got now about 35 years behind this. I went down Stark Road, scared as a kid could be.
But you know something? The kid was also Gene Edwards at the same moment.
Now that may not be possible for you to understand that that kid was also Gene Edwards. And I pulled out on a vacant lot off of Stark Road, pulled up probably 30, 40, 50 feet off the road. And I opened the door, and I got out on my knees. And this is what I said to the Lord. "Lord, this is not my work. I never met you. This is not anything of mine. Please come get it if it's not your will. Whatever happens here, it goes to the cross here tonight and it stays there forever." and you didn't stand a prayer in hell
of existing, and you don't know that,
well, you do there.
I got up and I brushed the dirt off my legs and feet. I found my way over to that building. Do either one of you have any idea what the name of that apartment building is?
It was purple or blue.
And I know that as you walk into the courtyard, it was upstairs and it was the corner building in this direction. Bob and Lance lived there. Well, we're going to go there someday. We're going to put a plaque there. In fact, I think I'll just let you be the one to figure out how to do that. I don't know how we do it. I had to get permission, but we're going to put a plaque there. I walked in and met Bob and Lance, and Lance cooked chicken dinner, and the meeting was supposed to start at 7. Somebody showed up at 9. I think we started about 9:30 or 10. And I started that day knowing that I would not be with you very long, that this work was on the cross and I wasn't going to survive it. I had already taken it to the cross when I picked up that phone.
And I threw the dice and gambled. I expected him to say something other than what he did. He had no idea what he was doing that day, but he made a tremendous mistake.
I was just waiting for the local church, those people, to come get you, and I wasn't going to fight.
I would not, did not, and never have, and never will, if God will extend grace. I have never protected anything I've ever done. Not for a minute. My heart was full. The vision was clear. I was clearer than Watchman Nee and the other fellow put together as to what we needed and what had to be. I also knew that I would never do what those men did, Garby or Nee or the him or any other body. I would not fight to keep what I had begun. Ever. On the other hand, I was not a coward.
God sovereignly puts you in my life and put me in his life. You were crazy. You were known as a group of Christian hippies. You were not, but you sure looked like them. I came back. By the way, there's one thing I did do. I invited myself back. Now, I'm going to tell you, brother, something. They never try to get a work or a group of people to make a decision. I don't care if they're all for it. They'll talk about it and they'll never do it. Tell them what to do and they'll thank you forever. I said, I'll be back. And I came back. And then I came back. And then came July the 4th. And I'll quit with this story, although we are not finished by any means.
Well, memory can be so wonderful and so dumb.
He discovered the local church, and he told all of us that we were going to get in the car and go visit the local church for a weekend. Boy, were you waiting for me. And I gave you up to God. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. And I didn't sleep because I was having my guts pulled out of me. I loved you folks, and you loved me. And I fell asleep on the sofa, and it was a deep, 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 deep sleep. This is the kind you rarely ever have, but that was so exhausting.
And even in that deep sleep, I heard someone crying, calling out and crying and crying. I had no idea who it was because I was too deep asleep to know. And I forced myself to wait, and there was crying. It's me. And I came to go to Bob Emery's wedding on Sandy. And that was on the 3rd, I believe. Oh. Alaska, somehow. And I was there to say goodbye.
And Bob Emery walked up to me and said, "You know, Gene, we changed our minds about going to L.A. to be with those people. We want to see what God can do with us." And it's what I answered. It'll stand forever. Bob, that's the greatest news I ever heard in my life.
And they had a running bet when you didn't show up. I'm going to give you an illustration, the present state of the Lord's witness.
Bob, I mean, he's a bit, what does it mean? Mike, you know how upset they could get over absolutely nothing? They became outraged because they had rented 30 chairs and nobody showed up. Raged and had fits and threw fits for days and weeks and months. We rented 30 chairs and they didn't show up. Now, the point being, and you'll have to hear the rest of the story to understand,
Mike, that was their leg. They could get so outraged over absolutely nothing, tear their clothes and throw dirt in the air because of something that just was to ordinary human beings to not anything. Oh, really?
Something. Well, you know, that reminds me a lot, yeah.
Thank you, Mike. This is not a pre-story, is it? Well, it's the present state of the work of God in this earth. Now, I'm going to pose this with a question. Can anybody remember the last sentence I spoke at UCLA? You listen to me, because this was embedded in my soul, as strong in that moment as it is today. In the light of all the garbage I had seen and I was about to say, I said, and it starts here, now, today, and we will never divide, and ain't it wonderful? And we have never broke that, ever. We have never been engaged in defending our work or standing against opposition. Now, we are many years later, and we have sought to build a foundation every day of our life on Christ alone, knowing Him, and without ever picking up any weapon to use against a human being. It was that early, brothers. And man, did you get tested. And that boy, did you ever get tested? It got really
bad.
He did.
You were there, Gene.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah. And you came out of fire, sparkling like diamond. And that's the story you tell. But I'm not through talking to you about the present work of God on the earth. And we are here for such a time as this. We're going back to the way the Moravian has been. And we're going to do a hop, skip, and a leap over this parable, this distorted, tragic story and conduct. I want to apologize once more, but if I don't tell this story, it'll never get told. I think we are injured. And now it's time for you to step up to the plate and build on this foundation, or we'll quit now, and I'm going to go home and write books. Look, it's time for a question.
Yes, brother.
What were the three thoughts you had in your mind when you were walking with your brother?
I thought about...
There's the line of the old man. There's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had no idea what the third one was, but any one of them would have easily kept me busy for an hour and a half as an introduction. And I got all that done in a little over an hour. And even to this day, somebody can be listening to tapes and they'll come up against the UCLA tape and it just stops them cold. We have a beautiful history, Saint. It's a beautiful thing. And we have been true to that and everything else. And I am going to tell you, again, when I stepped in all of this, I was clearer than anybody else on this earth. What the present testimony of God on this earth needed. Still do. Still am. And will be till I die. And if I were you, I would give some real serious thought not to go in any further, because by the time you hear the rest of the story, you probably want to catch the next plane out. Okay.